Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 12 to 3 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. What up with you? Hope you're having a great day. You know it's the fakest thing ever. When guys leave a bad team to go to a good team and they pretend like they're all bent out of shape. Oh, man. So sad. I'm leaving this team where no hope of making the playoffs to get a playoff bonus and a new contract. Welcome in. It's trade deadline day in the National Football League. It's also post Klay Thompson 14 threes day. Oh, yeah, by the way, the Patriots are better than anybody in the AFC East. That one, not a surprise. Congrats to John Ramos, Ryan Music, and, of course, the omnipresent and omnipotent one who Ramos and Music both copied. That would be Dan Beyer. As Music, I think, put it, Dan's always right. In this case, he was. The Patriots won and the Patriots covered. I was wrong last night. What the difference here is I always take credit when I'm wrong, but these guys never give me credit when I'm right. I'd hit every Monday Night Football and Thursday night game until last night, and no one will count it against my season record, which is just devastating to me because I'd be laughing and be able to post my records all the way to the bank. Instead, I'm merely several games above 500 in college and pro, but that's beside the point. Let's get to what we're learning about the NFL. We're learning about the NFL is they're not the first to market, but they have completely figured out how to take advantage of their market position. Right? In many ways, it's a lot like Nike, right? If you remember going back 10 years ago, maybe, when Under Armour first came out with the tight-fitting, very breathable and wearable Under Armour gear. You remember when that happened? Nike already had their dry fit gear, but the Pro Comp line didn't come out until after Under Armour made a move and got some of their market space. What did Nike do? They said, that's a great idea. Let's put a Nike swoosh across it. Use our dry fit technology. Let's make what they've done only do it better. And though Under Armour still has market share, it has never been able to challenge or even come close to challenging Nike. Also interesting is in the, whether it's Athletica or Lululemon, all of the tight fitting yoga wear, which you thought maybe 10 years ago or 15 years ago, Nike just buys Lululemon. Instead, they've allowed Lululemon to coexist. They just make the exact same gear and don't have to pay $1 billion for a company. Look around the NFL and you understand that this league collectively is getting smarter. Yes, it's still a fairly Neanderthal sport where men bash helmets with other men. Ugh. But the evolution is taking place right before our eyes, and today is the perfect example. Demaryius Thomas sold to the highest bidder. His contract, which is bloated, and a guy who is not nearly the receiver he used to be. You found a team in need with Will Fuller out for the year. The Houston Texans in first place. They end up making a move on a team that has decided, here's where it's smart. Teams used to keep fighting for late season wins. And they used to say, well, look, we'll worry about bad contracts at the end of the season. In this particular case, as is the case last week with the Raiders jettisoning their soon-to-be highest paid receiver. And you even look at The Detroit Lions. What did the Detroit Lions do today? They make a trade as well, trading Golden Tate. The Lions, the Raiders, and the Broncos have all decided this is not the year for us. So let's get rid of these salaries. Let's acquire as good a draft picks as possible. Let's take advantage of teams that are in need. This has happened at certain times, but generally it's a disgruntled player. Look back at last year when the Dolphins traded their leading rusher to the Philadelphia Eagles, which helped get the Eagles to a Super Bowl. That happened because the Dolphins had a disgruntled running back. Jay Ajayi was ticked off at his lack of carries at splitting time. It wasn't because the Dolphins decided to split on the season. And oh yeah, by the way, the John Gruden's an idiot. John Gruden looks like an absolute genius today. Sure, his season has gone to hell in a handbasket. But he inherited a team and had a plan to have a long-term fix. They have a ton of cap room. They have three first-round picks for the next for next year, and then two first-round picks the following year. Those are gold. Golded assets, as is cap space. Don't believe me? Look at other teams copying him now. But this isn't the only way in which the league has gotten smarter, right? They continue to find new ways to protect their most valuable asset. That's the quarterback. Today, they announced that they're going to play a fourth game in London next year because, like so many other entities, they're kind of tapped out in the United States, right? And if you don't understand the value of playing in London, it's not just that you have new fans. Game time, right? You go back 10 years ago, the NFL had no Thursday night football. And the NFL had no game in Mexico. And they didn't have games in London. In order to generate more revenue, you need more games on TV where they're not conflicting with each other. They're not cannibalizing each other's numbers. Like, look, Roger Goodell has not been great with the anthem protest, and he was not good with the Ray Rice situation and domestic violence. But the reason that he's compensated, the level he's compensated, is they are absolute geniuses in how to market this league and understanding, one, protect the assets we have, and two, expand not just overseas, but also in different viewing hours. Sure, you're not going to get the same numbers when you have the games in London. They're on at 6:30 on the West Coast and 9:30 on the East Coast. But those were times of day which previously you gave away to network TV. New windows create new inventory, period. And over the last 10 years, they now have four new windows for games in London. And I think it's 16 new windows for Thursday night games. It's amazing what they've done. It's like the league just figured out, hey, basketball started tanking way back when Rick Pitino did it with the Boston Celtics. And of course, it became a cool thing with trust the process with the Philadelphia 76ers. The Astros did it back in 2013 and they won a World Series. Why aren't we doing this? That's exactly what Gruden has executed. And now the league is following suit. Additionally, like baseball, like basketball, dumping bad contracts or contracts are going to inflate and doing it now creates cap space for now. And you have to understand how the salary cap works in the NFL. The year ends in March. So if you have additional space this year created by late season trades or late season cuts, you can sign players currently on your roster for next year using some of your cap space for this year. It's brilliant. And oh yeah, by the way, you can also save money because even though there's a ceiling for the cap, there's a floor for the cap. So you hit the floor early in the year and then you jettison those contracts and you can end up making more money on a yearly basis. The business of the NFL, those people, this is the way I try and operate. I don't want to be a Luddite. Like, you guys know what Luddites are? Luddites, it's a famous story of textile workers in the 1800s who they went about destroying machinery because they thought they would take away textile jobs. Right. So the idea is somebody who is like anti-technology. I don't want to advance because ultimately it's going to come back around to hurting me. That's a Luddite. Neo-Luddites are people that go, hey, I don't want a cell phone. Cell phones are the devil. Cell phones are. And then today I had to scan a document and my wife's like, why are you going into the computer room? Why are you going into the room, the office, to scan a document? I can do it from my phone. Like, you can? Yeah, here, press this button, send it to whoever you send it. It's done. That's amazing. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you the NFL is one of those, hey, we discover as soon as the apps come out, we got them, we load them on our phone. But when they see something smart, they go, you know what? Let's do that. Major League Baseball, the NBA, they've expanded overseas, and the NFL has done it smartly in bits and pieces. Why? Because kind of tapped out here in the States. And instead of having football on Fridays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays, the way college football has, where you feel like the market is saturated, they're still fairly saturated, but hey, we're going to keep it on Sundays, only we're going to play four of them early in the morning. We're still going to play Thursdays. Meanwhile, we're going to protect our assets where you can't touch a quarterback because they're the most important guy in the field. And oh yeah, by the way, while they've evolved in so many places and they do have better guaranteed contracts, the fact is that the NFL has the shortest term contracts, which is genius because one, it's the most violent sport, so guys last the least amount of time, and two, nothing's worse in professional sports than when a guy has some albatross of a deal. Is that bad for the players? I guess. But in terms of running a business, it's brilliant. While Golden Tate and Demaryius Thomas, and maybe to a lesser extent because it happened over a week ago, the Dallas Cowboys acquiring a potential, I guess star wide receiver, right? And Amari Cooper. While Amari Cooper and Demaryius Thomas and Golden Tate are the headline names, the true headline is the NFL has figured out that tanking works and dumping bad salaries when the season has no hope is a super smart thing at the trade deadline. It's happened in baseball for years. It's happened in basketball for years. And the NFL has gotten smarter over the past 12 to 24 months. Heck, even the Jets last year, who should have been tanking games, didn't, won five games and had to trade away their future just to move up and get the third pick in the draft. You're watching an evolution of the league. And oh yeah, by the way, John Gruden helped usher it in. And he's capitalized on it far more so than the Broncos did or the Lions were able to do.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I saw the Patriots win last night. You're like, ugh. Let me guess. Derek Anderson at quarterback for the Bills, and the Bills lose at home. That is not stunning news. 25-6, it was a boring game. My prediction of the Bills covering looked really good for a while. Right. And if you consider the fact that the Patriots didn't have Sony Michel, there was a legit thought process in it, right? They were trying to be safe, not get hurt. A lot of dink and dump passes, don't have Sony Michel. They become a power running team. Hell, Cordell Patterson basically played running back for them yesterday. So between Edelman and White, they got combined for 19 catches for those two. 19 of the 29. Dink, dump, dink, dump. Late in the game, they end up getting a big pick six as Devin McCourty takes it 85 yards to the house. And then, of course, Dan Byer's prediction that the other Lemmings went in tow with end up coming true. But the formula works, right? Coke made this mistake. My favorite part of college, my kids ask me all the time, Dad, did you like school? And I try to be honest with my kids to a point, you know, to a point. You can't be completely and totally candid with them. But I was like, nah, I didn't like most of school. I didn't, but I liked meeting friends, and I did learn a lot of interesting stuff. I really liked college. Like, I majored in marketing at Oklahoma State, Spear School of Business, and I learned a lot. And the ones I learned the most from were case studies. And there's a couple of case studies that come up in my mind. The first was the Chevy Nova that they tried to sell in Mexico. Ramos, Nova, what's that mean in Spanish?
No good?
Yeah, nah, no,
go. Doesn't go. Doesn't
no go.
Go. Yeah, no go.
Ramos, how did you screw that one up?
I heard the va. I knew that was to go.
Yes.
So, yeah.
No va. No go. Right? So, you can't really sell a car in a country where it's called the no go, right? That's not like, oh. So, a lack of research and understanding of a different culture in a different language. But the one I liked the most was New Coke. You guys remember New Coke? Okay. So, like, Coke was doing really, really well. But Pepsi was gaining in market share. This is a true story, okay? So what they would do is they'd do blind taste tests. And in blind taste tests, which did people like more, Coke or Pepsi? Ramos, you want to guess?
I would say Pepsi.
Why?
I don't know why.
Music, do you want to take a guess why? It is Pepsi.
Sweeter?
Yes. It's sweeter. And so what they discovered was, like in blind taste tests, people like Pepsi. But Coke still had the market share. People still bought Coke. And so what they did was they created this new formula, New Coke. And New Coke was really kind of like Pepsi, only in a Coke can. And they said, old Coke, you're done. Take a seat. New Coke, you're going to work. How'd it work out, Ramos? You remember?
I don't think it worked out very well.
It was a disaster. Case in point, we studied it in marketing as one of the biggest disasters in the history of business. So, go back, they have Coke Classic. They have them both out for a while, and then eventually they do away with New Coke. And New Coke, I think, is almost like Coke Zero now, really, if you really want to kind of get down to it. And no one ever in Atlanta and Coca-Cola headquarters, they don't even mention New Coke anymore. And there's a couple of things that they didn't understand. One is that though it was a though people liked in taste test Pepsi, the fact is that even though you like a sip of Pepsi, you didn't like a whole can of Pepsi. Additionally, there's the branding of Coca-Cola, which had been around, you know, since our grandparents' parents or, you know, our great grandparents. So those two things combined and New Coke was a disaster. The idea is this. The formula still works. The formula still works. I liken the New England Patriots, to Coke Classic. I like whereas there are other, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles on a taste test. You're like, man, I really like that. I like that young quarterback talking a little trash, taking chances on fourth down, running the Philly special. Running their mouths afterwards, but that's a short-term win. Whereas boring old Coke Classic is, in fact, the Pats. Or maybe here's a better one. How many Fast and Furious are there? I've completely lost track.
I believe there's 8, Doug.
8 Fast and Furious. There's a new Creed coming out as well, isn't there? Which is like the 8th or 9th Rocky movie?
Right, Creed 2.
Creed 2. So, there's Rocky, Rocky 2, Rocky 3, Rocky 4, Rocky 5, Rocky Balboa, and then there's Creed and Creed 2. So that's the 8th, right? And you're like, at some point, you're like, okay, is Hollywood completely out of ideas? No, there's lots of, A Star is Born is an amazing movie. People are raving about it. On the other hand, the old formula still works, right? Creed 1. Had a $40 million budget, made $173 million. Fast and the Furious 7, you're like, ugh. You know, one of their leads die in a car accident driving too fast in a Porsche. Sorry if there wasn't some epic foreshadowing there. Made $1.516 billion on a $190 million budget. The Fate of the Furious, which is, I think that's 8. made $1.239 billion. The idea is like, look, you got a formula. You got fast cars. You got good-looking people. You got cheesy storylines. And you got some special effects. It still works. Still works. The same formula still works. Hell, ESPN Radio. They didn't say they had Mike and Mike. Right, we paid them more money. It worked. Then they broke them up. It doesn't work. Right? Like, there's, are you kidding me? Another Starbucks. Have you ever seen an empty Starbucks in the morning or in the evening, right? Doesn't matter how many there are. They're always, because the formula works. It just works. Don't argue with working formulas. And that's what the Patriots have. They have a quarterback that takes a little bit less than market value. They have one or maybe two star offensive players. They fill out their roster with a competent defense. And slowly, after the third or fourth week of the season, they start picking off guys off the waiver wire or making limited trades and adding pieces. And somehow, at the end of the day, they might not win a Super Bowl, but they're competitive. They're in the playoffs. The formula works. And look, here's where Brady is. Brady's an Accord. The Honda Accord. My mom has, she's on, her fifth different Accord. It's the North American Car of the Year, 2018. They cost about the exact same amount of money. They're still, low 20s, right? They have tech, but not, crazy tech. You know, they got Bluetooth. They got the side view cameras. They got the rear backup camera. They got some other stuff. I think they have the iHeart button, so you can listen to all our iHeart stations, including this show, on the iHeart Radio app. Best midsize car resale value. Look, Aaron Rodgers is a Maserati. You ever heard of one of those Maserati engines, those new ones? But, Maserati's probably in the shop as much as they're on the road. They limit lack and practicality. They're super, super expensive. And in terms of value and consistency, you get it with the Accord, you don't get it with the Maserati. You just don't. Take a listen. This is Brady matches up with Rodgers Sunday Night Football this week. And they have that incredible promo with Michael Jordan talking about the game. I want you to take a listen. This is Tom Brady talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Just what he's done as a quarterback is inspiring. Even for me, I watch his game and it makes me want to get out there and practice and improve, because I think he's so phenomenal with how he, manages himself in the pocket. His ability to throw the football is, unlike anyone in the probably history of the league. It's pretty awesome to watch.
Yeah. Hey, he's sitting there going like, yeah, he's better than me. That's a Maserati. I'm driving an Accord. I want to go out there and practice, but I'm not as fast as him. I don't have the arm talent that he has. I don't have the flexibility with the playbook because of my lack of pure athletic ability. But I'll just go out and we'll move the chains. We'll dink, we'll dump, occasionally take a shot deep. And we have Josh Gordon. We have a running game. We'll run the football. We'll figure out a way to win the game. The Maserati has never won North American Car of the Year. The Accord has. Just this year. Or the fifth time.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Daniel Jeremiah works for the NFL Network. He's got a great podcast called Move the Sticks. He's also the analyst for the LA Chargers radio network. Let's start with trade deadline day. A lot of moves. Which is the most interesting to you?
I'll be honest with you, Doug. I love the Golden Tate move with the Eagles. Just because when you look at what you're trying to compete with in the NFC, I think everybody knows everything's going to go through the Rams right now, and they felt like they didn't have enough firepower. So to go out there and get somebody that they can plug in, and the way I kind of look at this is you've got a creative coordinator, a creative play caller there in Doug Peterson, and now you've got two receivers, when you think about Golden Tate and Nelson Aguilar, that you can line up in the backfield. You've got two tight ends and Goddard and Ertz, and then you've got a big, huge, tall target out there in Alshon Jeffrey. You can get creative with personnel matchups and do a lot of different things with the players they have now.
Okay, what about Dante Fowler? What's he do for the Rams?
Well, they needed some edge rush. When you look at them, all their rush comes inside with those guys, and they can play Sue out some. He's been successful some out there. Aaron Donald obviously can move around. But whoever they were going to put in that role, I mean, that's the role. If you're a pass rusher, that's the role you want to be on the field with those other three guys. You're going to get so much one-on-one attention, and you can kind of fan out protection and create some good opportunities. So I think Dante Fowler is going to be really, really successful there. I think that, for what he hasn't done or been up and down a little bit in Jacksonville, some of that had to do with the fact they had so many different guys they could roll through. He's not going to have as much holding him back in terms of what's in front of him off the edge there at end for the Rams. So he'll get more opportunities, and I think you'll see him post good numbers and get overpaid in the offseason by somebody else.
I know that they're Khalil Mack's a better talent, a better asset, but considering what the market is for was for other wide receivers, to get a first for Amari Cooper, to get two firsts for Khalil Mack, can't we at least say, while this season, result-wise, is a disaster for the Raiders in terms of what they got back for their assets trading before the deadline, they got a king's ransom, didn't they?
Yeah, I would agree with you on Amari Cooper for sure. I did not think they were going to be able to get more than a second-round pick for Amari Cooper. So that, to me, was a trade that the Raiders won. Now, we'll see how he does with the Cowboys, but I said that right from the jump. I thought that was a smart move by John Gruden. Now, Khalil Mack, those guys are a little bit harder to come by. And if they didn't, you know, he said he got the 2-1s, but they gave up a 2 going the other way. So that kind of offsets some of that. That one's a little bit harder for me just because guys like him are a lot tougher to find and don't come along very often. And obviously when you watch the Raiders play, they have zero pass rush, and they're going to try and find that in the draft. It'll all work out well. We'll all say that John Gruden was the smartest guy in the world. If somehow they end up with Nick Bosa at the end of the day,
sure.
Then you say, okay, this all worked out. But if they end up, accidentally, in quotes, winning a couple games and end up picking seventh or eighth, then I wouldn't feel quite as good about that.
Speaking of Bosa, still no Joey Bosa for the Chargers, although he's getting closer to returning. They're 5-2, but now that the schedule picks up, you got to go on the road to Seattle, suddenly resurgent Seahawks team. What's the state of the Chargers, a team that you see every week?
Yeah, getting a bye week, just getting freshened up a little bit, I think will be big coming off that huge win over the Titans over there in London. But this will be a good test. I mean, the Seahawks are running the football. They're protecting Russell Wilson. They're playing at a really high level, as are the Chargers. So I think this will be a good competitive game. Sounds like no Joey Bosa. Maybe it's another week out. Who knows? I have to wait and see on that. But Phillip Rivers playing the way he's playing right now and getting Melvin Gordon back, I would imagine. I'll go out there to practice on Wednesday and have a better feel for that. But, people forget that Titans game. He didn't play. So getting him back to provide a little bit more balance, it's going to be a heck of a game up there in Seattle.
Why did the Packers bail on HaHa Clinton Dix?
That's a good question. I personally, for what they have on their roster, I don't think they have a better option behind him, which – the Demaryius Thomas trade to me was less about Demaryius Thomas and more about Cortland Sutton. Just your opportunity. You're taking opportunity away from a better young player. I don't think they have a better young player there in Green Bay. So to me, this is just something about the future where they were going to move on from him in the offseason. So they just went ahead and did it now. But yeah, that's one of those ones without knowing, what's going on inside the building and the dynamic there, it doesn't make a ton of sense. Just from the outside, it's just, I don't think they have a better option on campus.
What's your assessment of Kirk Cousins and how he's played?
Well, it's interesting. For the majority of the part, I think he's played well. I think it was, I tweeted out the other day, I thought he made the right choice in going to Minnesota. I thought Minnesota made the right choice in pursuing Kirk Cousins. Now, unfortunately, it just seems like there's always one or two plays that ended up costing him. And, he played great for the majority of that game. You watch the tape, they moved the ball up and down the field. The Thielen fumble, I thought, was probably the biggest gaffe in that game. They're going in to score. It ends up being a 14-point swing right before the half. And then Kirk has the pick six, which, they showed it on TV, and you can see Diggs needed to keep running, but it probably wasn't a great decision by Kirk. He's just got to find a way to eliminate those one or two plays a game that end up marring a really, really good football that he's been playing.
Yeah, the other take, though, is that, and this is important, what were their other options, right? Like, Case Keenum's not good enough. That's been
By far the best option.
Right, and so, and look, they weren't even the highest bidder for him. So, and the idea, we're so result-oriented, like, well, the record is essentially the same as...
offensive line's terrible.
Terrible, and Thielen's having a great year, and he's partially responsible. Part of it is Thielen, but part of it, he's partially responsible for it. So I'm with you. I also think his ceiling does, as you pointed out, those one or two mistakes, that's what separates him from the elite guys, is that he can't save you on his own, and sometimes he tries to overcompensate for his limited athleticism and makes it one or two plays a game, which can, in fact, get you beat.
Yep, and I am hopeful, though, that you can find a way to erase those couple plays. I mean, but when he went there, one of the reasons I think he was excited about Minnesota was to go there where they'd have a run game with Murray and with Dalvin Cook, and that just hasn't really happened. And then, of course, he leaves Washington, and Adrian Peterson finds the fountain of youth, and now all of a sudden Washington's got a running game. So interesting how that all worked out.
It's fascinating how the entire thing worked out. Dan Jeremiah joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. How well is Cam Newton actually playing? Like, they're a good football team. They're winning games. People are freaking out and saying, like, Cam Newton should be MVP. How well is he actually playing?
He's playing well. I mean, he's doing good things. I think they found that North Turner's been able to strike the right balance in terms of using his legs without overusing him there and preserving him. They're playing good defense. I mean, it's a team. I mean, I think that it probably, you ask them, they're excited the way things have worked out because all the talk has been about the Rams and the Chiefs, and they're kind of just laying in the weeds. And Cam Newton's always been a marquee guy, somebody that's always talked about. And I know, you know, you just referenced there, you hear people talking about him for the MVP. Man, I don't hear much talk about him, period. So I think this is a good thing for them to kind of be in the shadows a little bit league-wide. And he's playing good football. He's playing really good football.
How good are the Saints?
Yeah, I mean, they're good. I mean, they showed they can win in a variety of ways. The defense, you know, get some young players that are starting to come along. Marcus Davenport's just going to get better and better. You know, I do think home field advantage is huge for them. I know they won on the road, but that was still indoors.
Yep.
I don't think they're a team that wants to go play on the road at Philadelphia, you know, a place like that, Washington, Philadelphia, someplace like that in the postseason. So I definitely think this is a huge game this week for them with the Rams. I think they've got the Eagles coming up.
Bengals in between. They got Bengals on the road in between, too.
Yeah, there you go. So, to me, I think of all the teams, and see if you agree with me, Doug, but of all the teams in the playoff hunt, home field matters more to the Saints than anybody else.
No question about it. They are built for the dome, and it's, you know, his arm strength is built based upon the fact that, you know, like, look, he's a tremendous quarterback, but he's helped at his age and even at any age by playing indoors, and they're built to play indoors. It's going to be fascinating to see what they do. They play 11 games indoors this year in the regular season, and a couple of their roadies, like the Giants, one, the Giants stink, but two, was early in the season. Now as the weather starts to turn, we shall see next week maybe, and Cincinnati is a big one too. Daniel Jeremiah joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. If the Buccaneers don't play Jameis, they can cut him and save the money that they owe him with the fifth-year option. On the other hand, if they don't play Jameis, they're basically done with Jameis. What do you do if you're Tampa?
You got to win games. When you look at it organizationally, head coach, general manager, they need to find a way to get into the postseason. And that's why when talking to teams about names that were out there, they said, you know, look, you know, teams kind of, you assume that maybe DeSean Jackson could be had, but they said the price tag was so high they weren't going to part with him because they're trying to find a way to get into the postseason right now. And to me, Ryan Fitzpatrick gives them the best opportunity to do that. And, you know, if he, you know, he can get them in that direction, I think if Ryan Fitzpatrick can get them somehow into the postseason, Jameis Winston's done in Tampa. And even if he doesn't, I think more than likely I'd put it 75-80% that he's done. I think that really this is kind of the end of the line there. He needs a change of scenery, and they need to move on.
But Jacksonville standing pat with Blake Bortles, is that going to work?
No. No, he's not good enough. I mean, he's not, and I think you'll see them in the offseason try and go out and do something at the quarterback position. But, you know, the interesting thing is when you watch tape, as bad as he's been, the interesting thing is that for a while was talked about, you know, what about Eli Manning? You know, do you try and make a move for Eli Manning? I think Blake Bortles, as bad as he's been, has played better than Eli Manning. It's crazy as that is. I mean, that's how bad it's gotten up in New York.
No, I know, but what do you do if you're in New York? Do you sit him down for an unknown rookie who just got arrested for almost plowing over a cop because he was trying to get out of a traffic jam?
I don't know. Like, Kyle Laletta was like literally one of the best dudes when you did all the homework on him. Like, that's why when I saw the headline, I was like, what? Like, he's supposed to be like one of the total great kid. So I'm kind of waiting to hear some more information on what happened on that whole thing.
I'm guessing, honestly, this happened to me on the 405 the other night. I'm driving back from the airport because, like a dope, I parked at the airport, even though I flew into a different airport. I should have just Ubered to my flight. Yeah. And there was a traffic jam, and in an effort to avoid like an accident, there's like an exit that you don't actually have to exit. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. And so last second, I kind of switch over, and everyone's driving too fast. And a cop like flags me down with this, and he's like, "Why'd you go off of the crossover like that median?" And I was like, "Well, yeah. I didn't. I got there right beforehand." He's like, "Yeah, you did." I was like, "Well, I'm in a Tahoe. I would know if I went over something, right?" Like, he's like, "Why are you talking back to me?" I was like, "Dude, I'm not. I'm just you're asking me, and I'm being honest with you." I can honestly see it where you're in a traffic jam, you take a quick turn, and you didn't know a cop is there, right? You're like, "Oh, you almost ran me over." Like, I understand it might feel that way to you, but I was just trying to get around traffic and get to my meeting on time.
Yeah, no question. So, yeah, that one, answer your question. I don't, you know, there's not like there's a great option, but I would explore and just see what Kyle Aletta looks like at some point in time here in the second half of the season. You're not going anywhere, and it's over.
Okay, so what do you do if you're Cleveland? Take me through the process of finding a head coach that can help fix this thing.
Okay. The two names I will keep an eye on, just kind of thinking about this the last couple of days, you know, winning is something that hasn't been done there. So finding somebody that's been successful, not an experiment, but somebody with actual experience that's won. And the two names that I keep coming back to, I don't know if both these guys will end up hitting the market, but I think there's at least a chance you see one of them, is Mike McCarthy. We'll see what happens if they don't make the postseason in Green Bay. And the other one I keep an eye on is John Harbaugh. I mean, if John Harbaugh, if the Ravens, who are at 500 right now, if they don't make the postseason, I believe, you have to look it up, but I think it's like five of the last 6 years they will have not gone to the postseason. And that'll be the end of Ozzie Newsome's tenure. Eric DaCosta will take over as the new general manager. That's already been set up. And you know how it is. A lot of times you get a new general manager, you want a chance to go hire your own coach, have him into the playoffs five of the last 6 years. I could see that, you know, kind of being the end there. So those are two names I kind of keep an eye on for Cleveland. And no more experiments. Let's go out and get somebody that's actually won.
Yeah, the one thing, though, is it is a copycat league, right? And, you know, whether it's Nagy or Sean McVay, these young whippersnappers with all these fancy ideas, you know that Jimmy Haslam's sitting there going like, "Hey, look, it's worked for so many other teams, and offensive inventiveness worked in Philadelphia for Carson Wentz, worked for Jared Goff, seems to be working for Mitchell Trubisky, even though I think he's the more limited of the three." How about that pushback you're going to get from your owner?
Yeah, no, I mean, look, that's been the thing talking to folks around the league is feel like all the hires are going to be offensive guys, because if you don't hire an offensive guy, the defensive guys will come in there and say, "Well, I can bring this guy as a coordinator." Well, yeah, if he's any good, he's only going to be here for a year, and somebody else is going to hire him as a head coach. So, you know, offensive-minded guys definitely is what teams are going to lean more towards. But the interesting name, you know, the name that hasn't been thrown out there, that selfishly that would be so much fun, and I don't know if it would be a disaster or not, but I would like to see Dana Holgorsen with a chance to work with Mayfield. I think it'd be fun.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, one of those air raid guys. You got Lincoln. I don't think he's leaving Oklahoma.
Yeah, at least Leach. You can't do Leach, although that would be fun too.
You couldn't do Leach. Kingsbury and Mayfield did not end on good terms.
No,
and Holgorsen would be interesting. It would be fascinating.
You've never heard his name mentioned one time with an NFL job. I mean, nobody ever mentions it, but man, it'd be fun.
Yeah, and he may be the best of all of them, considering his kind of creativity and flair. And but we shall see. Great stuff, DJ. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, bud. See you.
Daniel Jeremiah joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Let's